So this morning, I'm up here. I'm going to start something this week, and we're actually going to continue for the next couple of weeks. So hopefully that's all right with everybody. But to start with, I've kind of gotten myself into a routine, so I got to follow it. So how I always start is I tell a little bit of an embarrassing story about my life. Hopefully you relate to it, and we'll see where it goes, okay? But so for this morning, I was thinking, have you ever had an experience that just opened your eyes to something new? And maybe I'm not talking about anything groundbreaking, but afterwards you just felt a little more enlightened or a little more knowledgeable. See, for me, whenever I ask that question, what I think about is food. So when I grew up, my parents, my family, we're from here, but we're not Southern. I don't know how to explain that. We don't fish, we don't hunt. Like, Southern cooking, that wasn't a thing. We were just, food was fuel. Like, we ate to eat, and that was it. And so growing up, that's what I did. I actually started cooking because my mom started working at nights and while I was in high school, and food was just like, all right, I got to make it, and we got to eat it, and that's that. And that's not the experience of everybody, from what I understand. But what happened was, as I was graduating high school, I started dating Felicia. And Felicia's not the, she wasn't the cook then, she is a cook now, but I entered into not just Felicia's family, but Miss Tammy's family. And if any of you know anything about Miss Tammy, hopefully you know, she is, first of all, a Christ follower. Ooh, hey, there we go. But second of all, hopefully you know that she is a great cook. And so whenever I entered the family and I started eating with them, they had a place for me at the table. I sat in the same spot every time I was there. And I had this huge plate that would just pile up, and it was just something new. Like, I never had food that tasted so good. Like, that just wasn't a thing. Even my other extended family, it wasn't a thing, but we had Southern cooking, and now that I've been part of the family for a while, I know she got it from her mom, who was also a great cook, and it would just kind of open my eyes, and now I love to cook. I've always loved food, but now I love to cook as well. And so it was just one of those things where, like, oh, this is how it can be, you know? It was something new for me. And so whenever I think about that kind of experience, I wanted to let you know I've had another kind of experience like that. I've stumbled across this book that has really opened my eyes to something new. And the book is called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament, by Mark Vrogop. Yeah, this is the book. So I discovered this book. I found it while we were going through a Bible study that we do on Sunday nights. And I picked it up and I started reading. And for those of you that don't know, I'm really not a reader. Like, I do a lot of meetings with Pastor Mark, and he always wants me to read books. And I tell him, I ask, is it like 100 pages? And most of the time he sticks with it. Right now he's got me and Pastor Keith in this, like, 400-page book. It is, whew. Anyway, but for this book, it's short, it's simple, it's so easy to read, and the first 25 pages, honestly, just had me sitting up, it had me thinking, and the author walks through laments, and he teaches on what they are, how to lament, what they mean for us today, reading through Scripture, and this was a topic I realized that I just wasn't educated on. It was something that I never really learned about. And so through this book, I realized that lament, this type of prayer that we're going to learn about a little bit this morning, this type of prayer, they just have such an important role in our walk with Christ. And I was really excited because this word lament, I keep a list of topics that I want to learn about and I want to study. And this has been on my list for honestly years now. And so I finally found a book and it's really just opened my eyes. And like I said, it's not anything groundbreaking. It's not something that's going to, like, make you scream up and down for joy, but it's really just eye-opening, and it gives you some new information that maybe you haven't heard before, or even if you do, it's great stuff to review. And so for the next couple of weeks, we'll all be looking at lament, all right? We're going to talk about what they are, how they help us, what we can learn from them, where they are in the Bible, and all those kinds of things. I highly recommend this book for every single person here. Just know if you do decide to pick it up and read it, what I say will sound a little familiar. It's kind of the template for the next couple weeks, so just be ready for that. But as we get started, the first thing I want to do is just open up the Bible and look at a lament. So if you will, just open up to Psalm 13, Psalm chapter 13. If you are using the Red Pew Bible, that's page, I think, 574. So that's Psalm chapter 13. And just as you're turning there, this is going to be an example of what lament is, so that we all understand what it is that we're talking about as we start to learn about them and from them. All right? So Psalm 13, we're going to read the whole thing, but don't worry, it's only six verses, so it's really short. But this is Psalm 13. It says, "How long, O Lord, to the choir master a psalm of David?" So that kind of stuff is helpful. We'll talk about that. But let's start verse 1. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Here, let's pray real quick. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for every part of the Bible that we have. God, I pray that as we're looking at this part that may be unfamiliar or we're just not as knowledgeable in, that you will just open our eyes to what it is and how it is that we can use this to walk with you and how it enhances our walk, God. And as Pastor Keith said, I pray that your words and your ideas would come through and not just my ideas. And I pray that your glory is the motivation for this morning and not my pride and no one else's pride, but that you are truly the focus this morning. God, we just thank you for everything and we love you so much. Amen. All right, so this is a lament. As you can see, it starts with words that you, at least I, was not comfortable with praying to God. You know, it starts with, how long will you forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long am I going to have sorrow in my heart all day, every day? And it starts with these questions. And so we'll see as we look through laments that that's going to be very common. Laments start with these struggles, these pains, these heartaches that we have with God. But the point is, we're going to see that we don't stay there. We don't stay there. We get to a however or a yet or a but, where in verse 5 it says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." The point of a lament, we're going to see, is going to be to move through that pain, to move through the struggle, to move through the complication in life so that we can trust in who our Savior is. All right? So, and this morning is going to be a little bit different than what we're used to. Next week, we'll kind of get back to more what we would call exegetal passages, where we'll look at a Bible scripture and we'll just look through it. That's what we normally do here every morning. Today is a little different because it's going to be more topical. I think it's important to learn about what a lament is. So we're going to be all over the place and just looking at what we can learn from it. So the first thing is, let's define what is a lament. What is a lament? Lament, in just the dictionary, can be defined as a loud cry, a howl, or a passionate expression of grief. And so I was nervous to start this morning because normally when you hear the word lament, I think I always thought of that. And I would think most people would think of that, where it's somebody's just sad. Why do I want to talk about somebody just being sad and their grief? But however, the Bible lament is more than sorrow or talking about sadness. It is more than just walking through the stages of grief. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. The Psalms are full of them. Whether the lament is corporate, so that means here as a group of people, whether it's individual, there's some that are repentance-oriented, or see if I can teach you a new word. I didn't know this word, imprecatory. Anybody happen to know what it means? This we're going to teach like a class. You know what it means? Anybody? Imprecatory? Just shout it out. There we go. Yes, very good. So imprecatory means expressing a desire for justice. No pun intended. I just realized that. But I didn't know what that word was. But so there are some laments that are repentance oriented. Some are calling for a like desire for justice in society or a desire for justice for a situation that's going on. So you can't read the Psalms without encountering laments. It's noteworthy. It's important to us, for us to realize that at least a third of the Psalms are laments. So out of the 150 of them, one out of every three that you read is going to be a lament. And remember, the book of Psalms is a songbook. It was actual real songs that were sung by the nation of Israel. And so as a congregation, as a group of people, they would sing these songs together. And so throughout scriptures, lament gives voice to the strong emotions that believers have because of suffering. It wrestles with two struggles that surface. Normally, lament has at least two questions. It would ask, "Where are you, God?" Or, "If you love me, why is this happening?" We would ask, "Where are you?" Or, "If you truly love me, why is this happening to me?" And I can just stop right there, and I feel like we've all been there in life. There's got to be times you can look back and you can think, "God, where are you?" Or, "If you love me, why is this happening to me?" So just knowing those two things really lets you understand that lament should be really important to us because it's dealing with things that we still feel today that we honestly deal with. It deals with emotions that we struggle with at some point in our lives. One comparison I've read says that to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. To cry is human. Everybody cries. You're born crying. You come out of the womb crying. That's what happens. But to lament is Christian. Lament is different than crying because lament is a form of prayer. It's more than just the expression of sorrow or the venting of emotion. Lament talks to God about pain. And it has a unique purpose, trust. It has a purpose. Sometimes we can get stuck in this idea of, "Where are you, God?" And you can get stuck in this idea of being mad. And if you truly love me, why did you let this happen to me? Or why did you cause this to happen? And we can get stuck in that part. We can get stuck in those questions. But lament has a purpose. And that purpose is to lead to trust. The point of a biblical lament is not just to express that sadness and grief and pain that we all go through, but ultimately to lead to trust and faith to the one that we know controls everything. The practice of lament is going to be one of the most theologically informed actions that you can take as a person that is walking with Christ. So while crying is fundamental to humanity, Christians lament because they know that God is sovereign and good. Christians know his promise in the scriptures. We believe in God's power to deliver. That is at the core of who we are as Christ followers. We know that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. That's the core of who we are as Christ followers. And yet, even though we know those things, even though we know that God is sovereign, we know that God is in control, that the tomb is empty, that Christ sacrificed himself to save us, even though we know those things, we still experience pain and sorrow. And lament is the language for living between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. Lament is the result of recognizing two truths. Two truths. First, lament recognizes that evil exists and it causes suffering. Lament sees evil and calls it evil. It refuses to ignore or downplay evil or trivialize the resulting suffering. These are things that we see in our personal lives and things that are happening all over the world. There are things that in our lives you can think about that are hurting you. There's evil. There are things that are bad that are going on and that have happened in your life. And it's really easy to just look out into the world and see evil that's happening. At the news and the things that are happening in other countries and wars and just all kinds of things. So first, lament recognizes that evil exists. And second, lament recognizes dependence upon God because evil is beyond anyone's power to fix. That evil that we see is beyond anybody else's power to fix other than God's. Laments, there's an Old Testament scholar. His name is Tremper Longman. I'm telling you, as I study for sermons and for teaching, I discover these people that I've never heard of and these names I've never heard of. But Tremper Longman, he says that laments are prayers of sufferers who do not simply acquiesce or give in to their suffering. is laments are those prayers so that you don't just give in to your suffering. There's something more to get to. Don't just give in to it, but we're moving towards something else. And we know the cause of all lament, the cause of all the suffering, the cause of all the evil that goes on, that suffering that we experience in our lives, the cause of all that is sin. And we read in Revelation about the ending of all laments. So first, we understand why we all have laments, because there's sin in the world. We all have suffering because of sin in the world. But what's such great, great news is that we know the ending of all laments, where we're going to end up at. And that's one quote we can get from Revelation 21:4. It says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." So therefore, Christians not only mourn the brokenness of the world, but we also long for the day when all weeping will cease. So we wonder, how long, O God? We wonder how long, but we know that there will be a point that that will end. We know the end of the story. We trust in the end of the story. If we are Christ followers, we know that that is the end. And so anyone can cry. Remember, to be human is to cry, but only Christians can faithfully lament. And you might think that lament is the opposite of praise. We stand up here and we sing every morning and we sing praise songs. And you might think lament's the opposite of that, but it's not. Instead, lament is a path to praise as we are led through our brokenness and disappointment. Lament is a path to praise as we actually deal with the things that are going on in our lives. The space between brokenness and God's mercy is where this psalm and where this song is sung. That space in between those two things. Think of lament as a transition between pain and promise. It's that pathway from heartbreak to hope. We have this pathway to get from one place to another. We don't want to get stuck right in the middle where we're just giving in to that suffering, but we move through it to the praise. Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. We know that God promises that, but we still see and experience that. So that honest, that common position that we all find ourselves in, where we know who the mighty Redeemer is, who we know who the Savior is, but we also know we see and experience grief every day. Lament wonders out loud. Because remember, these laments were said as a congregation with other people. Laments wonder out loud why a good God doesn't do more. And every believer struggles with that prayer. And honestly, being up here and even saying that question out loud, I'm like, oh, that hurts to say. But that is something that we all deal with, it's that question. Biblical lament, though, always brings us back to the truth that we serve a mighty God who is sovereign and in control of all things. And so when pain feels like it's strangling us and that darkness feels like our closest friend, what should we do? Sometimes we think that the best response, and this is where I fall in. Let me tell you. Sometimes when we feel all that, we think the best response is a cheerful acceptance. Since God uses everything for our good and his glory, we feel that the most God-honoring attitude is to appear joyful all the time. I feel that. I grew up learning that. I grew up, that's what I saw. The thing is, we can hesitate to voice anger and fears, concerned about what others might think. Lament can be messy, and we want our lives to look neat, and we foolishly think, I read this little phrase right here, we foolishly think that our bleached prayers somehow make God look better. We think that if we just have a good attitude, that we're just joyful, we think that's going to bring God more honor somehow. Even though we're not being honest with ourselves and we're not being honest with God, who knows everything anyway, we think that that's going to make God look better somehow. That not voicing those things out loud will make us look better. But laments, they open up this category that meets us in that position, that meet us in the hard times of life and lead us to where we know the truth is. It opens up a way for us to have those thoughts and to have those honest feelings because they're there, and not just let them stew, but address them. And so lament is a category that is both historically unfamiliar and definitely, I would say, uncomfortable for many of us. As in, when I say historically, maybe in our past, where if you've been to church before or with your family, maybe you haven't experienced that. I know for myself that was me. And yet, if we live in a broken world and if pain is a part of the reality of what it means to be human, then we need to learn what it means to lament. Brokenness is built into the fabric of humanity from the very first fall of Adam and Eve. Hardship, disappointment, and pain will eventually enter every person's life. And the time to prepare for suffering is before it happens. Lament models what to do with those strong and raw emotions that we're going to have in those times. So it validates our struggles while, more importantly, pointing us to God. So lament is how you live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. And this is something that's hard to do. I don't think I stand up here thinking, well, you're saying those words and you're making it sound easy, but it's not. I understand that's not true. But I think what might surprise you is that how many people are on that same journey. While grieving people need positive and encouraging words, they also need to know that the church is a place for questions and fears and struggles. We're here together. We all are struggling with something. We all have that feeling. But opening ourselves to accept that and know that can make a difference. And that's what laments do. They make a place to have those questions and those fears and those struggles. And lament is the song for hurting, grieving people. And it would be wise for all of us to sing that type of song a little bit more. Lament in a church service and lament in the Christian walk and the Christian life, it communicates that there's a place where grief doesn't have to make you feel all alone. Lament deeply ministers to hurting people. That's the importance of lament. It ministers to us while we're in those places where sometimes we feel like we have to put on that brave face and just put up that strong outward exterior. Lament opens that up and lets us understand that we all go through that. And so there's some dangers about living life without lament. And so we have to understand God welcomes our lament. He wants us to come to him. He wants to hold us in those moments. But we have dangerous tendencies when we go through hard times in life. A lot of times you can put our experience in hard times into two different categories. God knows that our tendency is either to pretend that everything is okay while we suffocate on the inside, or we just walk away from God completely, believing that he doesn't care, believing that he's not going to do anything. We can fall into those two categories. And many people are afraid of lament. They find it too honest, too open, too risky, but there's something far worse than it being risky and scary and just anxiety-filled. Something far worse is silent despair. Giving God the silent treatment is the ultimate manifestation of unbelief. That took me a second to process thinking about that. Giving God the silent treatment is the ultimate manifestation of unbelief. When we decide that we're just going to shut God out, we're not going to talk to him, we're not going to accept anything, we're just going to live life, make it look pretty, and I don't need to look into that. I don't need to address it. I don't need to dive into it. There's so much danger there. Disappointed by unanswered prayers or frustrated by out-of-control circumstances, these people wind up in a spiritual desert, unable or refusing to talking to God. This silence is a soul killer. And I know even in myself, I've recognized it in other people before. That is so dangerous. And grief and suffering and hard times, those emotions, those feelings, it isn't tame. And lament helps us to navigate through those complicated areas of our emotions. And it allows us to open our hearts to tell God how we feel. The reality is that silence is a killer when it comes to our spiritual life. And lament opens the heart, opens the voice to tell God what's really happening inside of our souls. So why do we put on these noise-canceling headphones over our hearts? Shannon brags about this. He has this set of headphones that he loves. And anytime we go on an airplane with him, he's got to take his 2 or 3 minutes to tell us about them. These headphones, you can't hear anything. On a plane, people are trying to have a conversation with him. He can't hear it. It's noise canceling. It tunes everything else out. Why do we put that kind of feeling on our hearts? keeping ourselves busy to avoid pain and not letting anything in. Let's not busy ourselves to avoid lamenting. Let's learn to lament well. Instead of putting those noise-canceling headphones on and just drowning everything out and not accepting it, instead of just avoiding that lament, instead of avoiding those prayers with God, let's just learn how to do it well. Because when we act like we can handle our suffering on our own, there's another sin that rises up, and that can be idolatry. Because we're acting like we're God, and we're capable of handling everything ourselves. And that's, man, what a dangerous place to be in. Lamenting is relearning our humanity. It's admitting that we can't handle it, knowing we need God's power and mercy and grace. And so a lot of times when you're on social media, or you're on a computer, or you come to church service, a lot of times we're really focused on the positive. We're really focused on the happy. Let's just smile and look like we're having a good time. Positive and encouraging, right? We've heard that phrase on the radio. Positive and encouraging. Those are necessary and those are wanted. Of course I want those things in my life. Please let me listen to some happy music. My wife knows I don't like slow songs. I don't like things that are going to make me sad and cry, because ever since I had kids, I can cry like that and it's terrible. So I want the positive and encouraging. I want those. And that's true. They're necessary. But we can leave people going through struggles feeling like they're singing a solo, doing life on their own. If that's all we're focused on, if that's all we're putting out, if that's all we're accepting, people who are actually going through struggles are going to feel like they're all by themselves. It can send the message that real believers don't struggle. And man, I've seen that. I've felt that. It can give that appearance that if you're a true believer, you're not going to struggle. That's not the case. That's not true. In Psalms, it's clearly there. So ignoring those realities of hurt and pain to stay silent, that's a dangerous place to live in. And lament allows us a way out of that. And lamenting is the honest vocalizations of grief to God. And often within earshot of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We plead with God to satisfy us with himself, the one that gave us his only son for our sins, so that by faith in him, we might have eternal life. Biblical laments don't leave us hanging. They don't leave us dangling. They lead us back to the Lord. They lead us back to where we know that true satisfaction is. Satisfaction in the hope of the gospel sustains us in our suffering. We process our pain and we recall the steadfast love of the Lord. The Christian church, of all organizations in the world, of anybody, any organization we see, we ought to take this category and offer it up to the world as a beautiful platform for the gospel. Knowing that people suffer, but knowing that there's a way through that into truth, into praise. We know the arc of a lament. We know the end of all laments. So we ought to know what it means to lament in that in-between time. And so why is lament important in a corporate setting like this? Sometimes we don't feel sad and we don't have pain and grief. So why should we care about lament? Why should we care about doing it with one another? Why should we care about doing that with other people? Why should we lament together? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Sometimes in life, we're just sad. Lives are complicated. They're too complicated to entirely be happy all the time. Lament responds by recognizing evils and bringing them to the only one who can help. So sometimes life is just sad. And you live in a broken world. So even if you don't feel grief, even if you don't feel sad right this moment, we all live in a broken world. The very existence of sin should make us grieve. Expressing sorrow is part of being a faithful witness to the current brokenness of this world. If you can look out and see that this world is broken and you don't grieve over it, there's something you need to reflect on. There's sin in this world. So in this sense, we are grieved because we're caught between a perfect relationship with God that started in Eden and the New Jerusalem, when we're going to end up with God for eternity. We're stuck in that middle. And lament brings that sorrow and grief to God. So sometimes life is just sad. We can see the world is broken. And someone in your church family is weeping. Even if you're not feeling sad right now, there's someone in here. I don't know everybody's story right now. But the Apostle Paul in Romans, he tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's a commandment. He's telling us what we do. We're happy with those people who are happy, but we're sad with the people who are struggling right now. So corporate lament encourages Christian sufferers that their church family stands with them as they wait for the Lord's rescue. That's important. That's important. And then one last reason for why it's important to do that as a corporate setting, and you know, as we're in congregation together, is that one day all weeping will be turned to laughter. Like we referenced back in Revelation, lament takes up simple grief and adds protest to it, but it knows who to protest to. The only one who can do something with all the evil that grieves us, and in doing so, it rejoices in him. And so the last thing I want to bring up to your attention about lamenting is that it takes faith, all right? Lamenting keeps us engaged with God. When we lament, we invite God into our pain so that we can know his comfort and so that others can see that our faith is real. Our faith is not a facade that we erect to convince others and make others think that pain isn't real or that pain doesn't hurt. That's not what our faith is. Our faith should be like an oak tree that withstands all storms of doubt and suffering and pain in our lives and grows stronger through them. I said an oak tree because we live in Swansea, we live in South Carolina. I've seen pine trees fall right over. They are huge. They're bigger than this church. And our yard, these pine trees fell right over. I don't want to be strong like a pine tree. I want to be strong like an oak tree. Where through the storm, maybe you've seen videos or you've seen one in a yard before when it's storming and the wind's blowing and the leaves are going everywhere and it looks like that tree's just going to get up and fly away, but it stands still. It stands firm through all those things. And right now, I don't know everybody's story. I don't know what's going on, but I know that there are things that are going on, that there are whirlwinds, there's tornadoes, there's storms that are going on in people's lives. And we need to be that example for each other, that oak tree to stand there and hold somebody down and show them through lament to trust in the Lord. And so there's this other quote that I want to read to you. Todd Billings is his author. He helps us understand this foundational point. He said, "It is precisely out of trust that God is sovereign that the psalmist repeatedly brings laments and petitions to the Lord. If the psalmist had already decided the verdict that God is indeed unfaithful, they would not continue to offer their complaint." There wouldn't be so many psalms about lament if they had decided God's really not going to do anything. There's so many of them because they know what the truth is. They know what the actual verdict is, that God comes through. We only continue to lament because we know the purpose, the point to turn us back toward our faith in a loving Father. So turning to prayer through lament is one of the deepest and most costly demonstrations of belief in God. It's one of the hardest things that we can do, but it's one of the deepest demonstrations of our belief in God. It's hard. It's a struggle. A lot of what we've talked about has been vague. You know, I'm just bringing up hard things and, you know, nothing specific. But I'd like to emphasize this point right here. Think about the hard times that you have in life. Losing a family member, a loved one. Sometimes someone that felt like they left too soon. How hard is it to make it through that and turn to prayer? Think about those situations where there's only a few dollars in the bank account and you don't know how to make it to the next day. Think about that hard moment in a marriage where you don't know what the future holds. Think about that child or parent that you've been trying to show Christ to for years and years and years, and you don't see it making a difference at all. When you've done everything you can to make sure your life is on track, but everything seems to be going against it. Think about those moments. That's what we mean when we say we're turning to prayer. Where turning to prayer can feel costly and hard. It's one of those demonstrations that's hard to do to make it through, but it's one of the deepest demonstrations to show that we have faith in God. That's why having lament as a way to make it through these times is so important. Again, this was something I've never learned about it. I've never been educated on it. And I've been in church my whole life. That's why knowing this and understanding this is so helpful to us. It takes faith, true faith, to move through those things and still turn to God. Those heartfelt cries of lament are often messy. They can be brief, because sometimes you can only get a sentence out. Sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes they might feel a bit forced or uncomfortable. Again, like I said at the beginning, just reading Psalm 13 makes me feel a little uncomfortable. It makes me feel weird. But keep talking to God. Even through those moments where it's hard and uncomfortable and it feels messy and it feels too short, because sometimes we feel like we need to say these long things. Keep talking to God through that. Don't allow your fear, your despair, or your track record of silence. Maybe you've been silent with God for days and months and weeks and years. Don't let that track record cut off your flow to God. Don't let that happen. Your pain can be a path toward God if you allow lament to be your new language. If you've never had a language to get through those moments, that's what lament is. That's what we can use to get through this. Lament prayers take faith. Talking to God instead of getting sinfully angry or embittered or getting silent requires biblical conviction. Laying out those messy struggles of your soul and then asking again and again and keep going back to God for God to help you requires a solid mooring, which is another word that I'm not super familiar with, something that's holding you down. That solid thing that's holding you down, that takes faith. And laments turn toward God when sorrow tempts you to run from him. When sorrow is tempting you to turn away and run away from who God is and what he has promised you, what your life and what your true purpose is, lament turns us back toward God. And as we finish up and we move into these songs, and they might be praise this morning, that's okay. As we move into the songs that we're about to begin, I pray that we won't forget what lament is, that we continue to understand that these are words and songs and poems for us to move through the struggles in our life, through the hard times that we know we have, and still end up on the right side, looking and pointing towards God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning again. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for just laments that you've put in the Bible for us to understand there is a language, there's a word, there's a path through the pain, through the struggles, God. Thank you so much for that, God. For if we didn't have those, maybe we would feel like we couldn't talk to you. Maybe we would feel like we just have to put on that strong out exterior and not move towards you, God. But because you've given us those, we understand that there's a way through that, God. There's a way through these times in our lives. And God, I pray that not only that we remember that, but that we would also remember that we can help others through that. That even if we're not going through something hard right now, or we feel like what we're going through is just a little bit less than somebody else, God, I pray that you would help us remember that this is a corporate idea, that this is something we can do with each other. And not on our own, not as a solo song, but as a song we sing together, God, that we can help each other through that, that we're actually living life together and helping each other, pointing each other towards you in these moments of hardship and struggle, God. Thank you for everything you've given us. I pray that you would just help us to remember that this week and move towards you and just bring you glory in everything we do. And God, we love you so much. Amen.